Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Beyond the junkyard, echoes roar. Shattered dreams and bloodstains pour. Grit and glory all from war.
What is going on, everybody? This is the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am Junkyard James. And as always, with me is the man, the myth, the legend, the one with the most sauce, Cody Marinara. How are you doing, my friend?
Well, damn, son, don't sound like you're excited or anything like that. Come on, get a little bit of energy with this. Jeez, you must have had some damn... you must have had moldy sauce tonight. Maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. Hey, listen, you know what? It's all good. It's pay-per-view week. Better shut the fuck up with that, y'all. We're not doing that shit tonight. No, sir. You better drink a damn W. You better get energized real quick here, friend. We're doing good over here. Weather's been fantastic over the last couple of days. It's supposed to be really, really pretty this weekend, which is great. Usually this time of year in the Carolinas, we are sweating our balls off. So it's nice to not have that feeling this weekend. Setting up for a really nice Memorial Day weekend. So I hope everybody has a great Memorial Day weekend. AEW Double or Nothing is this Sunday. It's going to be a good weekend overall. Best day in racing is this Sunday. Looking forward to a bunch of stuff. And yeah, how are things on your end, good sir?
Doing pretty good here. It's just another Thursday where we get to talk about where the best wrestle AEW. And like you said, there is an AEW pay-per-view this week, and that is Double or Nothing. And we will jump into the card here a little bit later in the show and discuss some of that. Since this the match cards, Tony Khan likes to make a about as long as a CVS receipt. We will kind of cut a couple of normal segments short. We'll jump right into the mid-card meltdown here in just a moment, but I do want to give a huge thank you to our affiliate partners. That's W Energy, WWE Shop, and StubHub. Check the links down below for all of that information, and I'd be remiss to ask for the four things at the bottom of the screen. And again, that is for that thumbs up. Hit that like button if you enjoy this product. And even if you don't enjoy it, just hit the fucking like button, please, so that the algorithm works. And maybe people that would enjoy this product can watch us. Leave a comment. Join us. If you're watching live, join us in the chat. Like our good brother, Mr. Claude Felter, he's in the chat. He says it's 100 degrees in Vegas. I'm glad we're not there. But if you're watching live, join us in the chat. If you're watching this on replay, just leave a comment and let us know what you think about the topics, and we would greatly appreciate that. Share this with all your wrestling friends, maybe your non-wrestling friends from all over the spectrum. And then hit that subscribe button and join the community. Make sure you get the notifications. That way you can get notified every time we go live or drop a new video. And then join the Discord, we have gone through a little bit, as I announced on the last episode of the podcast. We have kind of rebranded the Discord a little bit from the Junkyard Media Group Discord page to the Real Wrestling Community. And if you join the Discord, we are going through currently a prediction battle within those in the Discord. So join that Discord. We got two pay-per-views this weekend. We got Battleground, WWE Battleground, and AEW Double or Nothing. I had a brain fart there for a minute. But anyways, join the Discord, make your picks for who's going to win all of those matches for both the WWE NXT Battleground and the AEW Double or Nothing. And at the end of the year, the winner, they might get a prize, but you can only play by joining in on the Discord. Link is at the website, junkyardmediagroup.com, where you can join there. Or if you need the link, you can send me a message on social media. JunkyardMG is the X page. You can shoot us a message there, and we can send you that Discord link. But let's jump right in to the mid-card meltdown. Mr. Cody Marinara, the floor is yours.
Wow. You know, I honestly didn't have much of a meltdown until really today. I would love to know where WWE is hosting WrestleMania next year. I think it's kind of shitty that you have this big SmackDown, February, I believe, in New Orleans. Rock appears, and then immediately following that, just completely kills kayfabe, kills everything. Not watching anything, Jason. I was trying to get things pulled up for the show here. You have this huge buildup for a post-SmackDown press conference. The Rock is there, like I said, just destroys kayfabe, says him and Cody share having to have drinks, this and that. Have a bunch of the local media in New Orleans present, and he makes this grand big announcement that WrestleMania is heading to New Orleans next year. Not even 3 months, maybe right about 3 months after he makes that announcement, we get a report today that WrestleMania is not going to be in New Orleans next year. They're going to host the Money in the Bank instead, which, in my opinion, means that all of a sudden somebody came with a higher bid, maybe, than New Orleans did. And that's just wild to me that you make this grand, big announcement. Do a bunch of press. You got the logo. You've solidified that this event's going to happen next year in this city. And then to pull it 3 months later, I wonder what the cause of that is. I wonder if literally it was, hey, you know what? Somebody just made an offer we couldn't refuse. And yeah, they came in really late. It sucks. We apologize. But they got their stuff together and saw how the financial impact it makes on cities. And off and running, we go to this new city, or may not be a new city, but yeah, I just, that's a first of its kind, as far as I believe, that WrestleMania has been announced. We know where it's going to take place, and 3 months later they pull the plug on that city, and now it's going to be hosted at a different city. I really hope it's not going to be Vegas again. It's been there, done that. Let's, you know, I don't like it. Move on. That's why we have WrestleMania in rotating cities every year. Shouldn't be needing to go back again to the same place that they just were the year before. But I would like to know where it's going to be at. Be great if it was London. Be cool if it was Toronto. Be great if it was Orlando. But if it's in Saudi Arabia, you will see me have the biggest rant in the world on this show doing that. As bad as I really don't want it to be in Vegas, I would throw a fiery dart into WWE's throats for doing that. But yeah, I don't like it. I think it's a weird thing to happen because it doesn't happen. But I would love to know the implications of why it got pulled, made this announcement, and then we pulled it. Yes, bring a petition to bring Mania to Charlotte. Hell yeah, that'd be kind of cool. We wouldn't have to travel. We could just go up the road to Bank of America and Spectrum and have a good time in the Charlotte Convention Center. And I want to know why it was pulled and what the financial implications were. If it's Vegas again, did Vegas really put that great of another great offer like that on the table to where WWE couldn't refuse it? I mean, you know, those things happen for sure. But I definitely want to know that for sure. Speaking of bringing WrestleMania to places, I saw something today that I absolutely laughed my ass off with it. I didn't screenshot it, or else I should have sent it to you. But as people were saying, all right, where is it going to be at? Where's it going to be at? This guy named Patrick the Heel on X posted, they should do WrestleMania Myrtle Beach. That's phenomenal. Anytime.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hometown gets a shout out on online. It's great. In the comment section, had me rolling. I was like, why have Bourbon Street when you can have Ocean Boulevard? I thought that was pretty good. Somebody said, does Myrtle Beach even have an arena? And Patrick responded by saying something like that and then posted a picture of Medieval Times. Phenomenal. That was great. Somebody said, is that in the UK? And he said, yeah, obviously being sarcastic. But yeah, I thought it would be I thought it was funny as hell. Maybe in Dirty Myrtle will have extreme NASCAR in the 90s vibe. That'd be great. But yeah, so no, it was funny as hell for them to do that, for him to say that. I thought it was great. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes about of it. I just think it's weird. I'm not really going to harp on it and say it's a terrible decision and really shit on WWE of it. I just think it's kind of sucky that they make hey, I was just there last weekend. I just dislike the fact that they made this huge grand fias, you know, type announcement, have the logo ready to go, local press, and then 3 months later, hey, just kidding, guys, you're getting Money in the Bank instead. So, yeah, I just kind of dislike that, but I would like to see what all the implications are of it before I really trash it. But definitely, it's weird. It's weird.
So I may have your answer on where it's going to be. Per WrestleNomics, which is Brandon Thurston, on his Patreon exclusive report, he wrote an update stating...
When was this update posted?
Sometime within the last 6 hours. Okay. After the... Because the original article was posted about 3 o'clock... this afternoon, Eastern time. So he said, after the article was published, NOLA.com reported Las Vegas will be the host site of WrestleMania in 2026. The Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority didn't immediately respond to our message seeking confirmation. Rather than WrestleMania, New Orleans will host Money in the Bank. This news follows a recent announcement. UFC 318 is set from Smoothie King Center in New Orleans on July 19th, so they're probably going to do some big event there with between the two companies. And then the New Orleans Sports Foundation and New Orleans and Company are working closely with friends at TKO to expand our longstanding partnership. Events with TKO include UFC 318, Money in the Bank 2026, and WrestleMania, which will move from the currently scheduled 2026 time frame to a future year. So they'll still have a WrestleMania, but who knows when and where. So it sounds like it's going to be Vegas again with WrestleMania next year.
Again, I'm not a fan of that. But I would like to know the behind the scenes of how all this came about. Why so late as far as already having the announcement, and then 3 months later we rescind that announcement, and just kind of what all the financial implications are. Just want to know what all went into it. That's why why I pulled the decision. It's cool that, I mean, New Orleans is going to get WrestleMania regardless. I mean, I think we all know that. It's just primed to happen. But, I would love to know the behind-the-scenes aspect as to how this all came about. What is your mid-card meltdown, sir?
So my mid-card meltdown is, it's not necessarily designed to be a critique against a specific wrestling company. We're going to talk about Double or Nothing. And my critique, my mid-card meltdown, is the fact that I can't fucking buy the pay-per-view on Triller.tv this time. And how pissed off that makes me, because all of my pay-per-views that I've bought since really the inception of AEW are on Triller, because when you got Bleacher Report, originally they broadcasted all of the pay-per-views on BR Live, and when they quit doing that and they allowed Triller to basically give you those pay-per-views unlimited replays forever, if you had a BR Live account, everything crossed over at some point in time. Well, that won't work with Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime only gets you a 7-day replay period. And so I'm a little upset, to be honest. I think it'll be fine. Rumor has it that Triller is not in great financial, not in a great financial place. And AEW did announce that Fubo is out broadcasting the pay-per-view as well for the first time this weekend. But I think that there should have been more communication about where we can get this pay-per-view, because up until last night, there was no clarification as to where you can get this pay-per-view from. And then they announced all of the pay-per-view locations on Dynamite on last night. And I don't know. It's a little frustrating, because Triller has been really good for hosting pay-per-views. And they're doing it internationally. So I don't know what the issue is where we can't get it in the States. Some rumors suggest that if Triller really is in that bad of a financial state, that Tony Khan really wants that Prime deal to move and a lot of people to buy out the pay-per-views on Prime. And that's a good partnership to have. I'm just upset because, like, what if I want to watch it, 3 months from now? And I guess it also needs me to ask, what's going on with Max? Is All In going to be the first Max deal? It was like, is this part of pulling Triller out so that we can get Max in here quicker, or what's going on there? When are they going to upload the pay-per-views, if not streamed on Max? There's just a lack of communication as to, like, what these pay-per-view streams are going to look like. And if I could have a choice, I would choose Triller, because their servers usually don't crash on us. And I don't know anything about Amazon Prime. I assume they'll be fine, but
I'm in the same boat with you. I prefer Triller, like you said, more so because of the fact that I can go back and watch all the AEW pay-per-views I've ever bought. They have a whole collection of, you know, if you want to buy a whole year of it, you can now. Unlimited replays, all that good stuff. And I appreciate that. And that's why I've always done Triller VR Live. So that was me. One of my things is maybe on Max, they'll have it on there a couple days after the pay-per-view. I don't know. But it is really weird how Triller all of a sudden just can't do it in the United States, but can internationally. I don't know how that whole thing works. It just seems kind of weird. Maybe it's a way to kind of get them starting to filter out and bring in Max for doing the streaming of the pay-per-views, starting with All In Texas. It's going to be the biggest pay-per-view of the year. That would make sense. But one thing that, one more point that I want to bring up as well with the Prime thing, if they're pushing Prime and YouTube for the YouTube for the United States crowd, that's fine and dandy. Amazon Prime is having their debut race for the NASCAR Cup Series this Sunday for the Coke 600. And they are promoting the hell out of that. I don't even know if Amazon Prime has even really done any sort of advertisement for AEW from their last couple pay-per-views that they've had on Prime Video. But even if they have, there is going to be none of that for this weekend. They are strictly hardcore pressed. Watch the Coke 600, which has a start time of 5 or 6. So Double or Nothing is going to be starting right in the middle of the race. And, you know, it's already an odd weekend for Double or Nothing. It's always been on Memorial Day weekend, but obviously it's head-to-head with some of the playoff games, Coke 600, baseball, but yeah.
And NXT.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's got NXT it's got to compete with as well. So there's a lot of inundation going on and a lot of saturation with viewership and what people are going to be watching. I still think people are going to be tuning into the Double or Nothing for sure, but really pressing for Prime and YouTube is not a great thing to see so close to the pay-per-view. Yeah, nobody cares about TNA. It's either going to be Battleground or Double or Nothing, to be honest with you. Funny that TNA has a show and yet some of its stars are appearing on WWE's show. That doesn't make any sense. Some of the bigger stars, too. But anyways, it's going to be weird how that whole thing will work. So I guess, and maybe there could be still a deal that could be worked out day of the show, day before the show. We don't know. It'd be great if there was. We can just buy it on Triller. But if not, then I guess we're going to have to resort to either watching it on YouTube or Prime. If it was me, it's probably going to be YouTube just for the fact of I don't know how the servers are going to be with Prime, with Coke 600 going on and them then streaming a pay-per-view at the same time. It's one of their, I know they do Thursday Night Football and they have a big crowd and all that good stuff, but then you're going to be in, you know, like I said, saturated even more with the big crowd for the Coke 600 watching the first NASCAR race on Prime. And now this pay-per-view is streaming on there as well. So I may just say, you know what, let's just go to YouTube and just bite the bullet and go from there. We'll see.
Absolutely, my friend. Let's jump into some smaller news pieces real quick before we get into predicting the show. We had a Double or Nothing media call today, and Tony Khan made two interesting comments during the media call. The first one was that he says there are now less voices involved in the AEW production department. He's really tightened ship up. And Tony Khan feels the product is like peak pandemic AEW with a tight group of individuals who are really excited to be there. So I guess my question is, I thought we didn't have production meetings, but it sounds like maybe we do. There is a production department, so you would think that there are people in there who have meetings throughout the week to make sure that production is going well. Your thoughts, though, on the fact that it sounds like with less hands in the pot, it really has shown in the product, in my opinion. AEW has cleaned it up a little bit, and it presentation-wise has been really good. And so your thoughts on this comment?
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I think that the production is definitely taking a step up for sure. and the presentation looks really, really good. Product has been the best it's been in quite a while from a storyline perspective. Character development, vignettes, promos, depth with their storylines, matches are always going to be good. So, I mean, I think the AEW's been on its best run of shows since really January, maybe even December or November. Right. And maybe that's when kind of things started to kind of turn and be a little more tightly kept and produced overall. I think it's been on its best run of shows for quite a while. So, I definitely agree with that.
And the second thing Tony Khan mentioned and the media call of news to me, he was asked about the possibility of the AEW Women's Tag Team Championships becoming a real thing. You know I support it. I know you don't support it. This is what Tony Khan has to say. AEW has been having a great 2025, and I'm trying to build us to the strongest point we've been. That's something I'd like to do, and it is a goal for me. It's very realistic to look to in the future. It sounds like, to me, Tony Khan sees the call that a majority of the AEW fan base is wanting AEW Women's Tag Team Championships, and it sounds like they're coming very soon. We've seen, like, last night on Dynamite, Sky Blue and Julia Hart seem to be linking up again. We've had quote unquote women's tag teams for quite a while, just to make the division, I guess, somewhat more official of a split division than from like the singles runs of the TBS championship and the world title. It sounds though like we're getting a women's tag team division. Well, maybe not this year, but in the near future. Your thoughts, I guess, overall.
Yeah, I don't know how close that's a reality or not. You know, things in the future could be 5, 6, 7, 8 months, a year away. If that's the case, I hope it's a longer wait than short term. You can have these teams, and that's great and dandy, but you need to have some sort of depth and build up and creativity, but also some sort of cohesiveness and longevity to your tag teams. You know, you can't just have two gals that just teamed up 3 days ago or day of be like, hey, we're going to be in a tag team now. Let's go fight these guys and win the tag belts. Okay, great. Why? Why should I care about you being in a tag? Why do I care? So maybe this gives them an opportunity to kind of build up their tag team division and give it a little bit of juice and make sense for why they're teaming up and this and that and create some matches and maybe some storylines. And then that way, when they do get introduced, it does make a little bit more sense and they have some sort of flow. And within 3 months, it's just going to be crap and all over the place and jumbled up and not in a good spot. So I still don't wish they happen. I don't see the long-term creativity that goes with it. But again, you know, that's point proven that I don't agree with everything AEW does. And do I hope it succeeds? Absolutely. It's great for the women. Then it comes. Another opportunity to showcase more women and do cool things on TV and be creative, but get creative and be creative. But I just hope it doesn't fade out so quickly. But we'll kind of see what happens.
We shall see. Let's get to the reason why everybody's here. It's the name of the show. It is the AEW Double or Nothing prediction time, and here we go.
Breaking news. As we're talking, another match has been added to the card.
Oh, fantastic.
And as far as I can tell, it is not on the pre-show. It is on the main card. So anybody who's going to be joining us in our Discord and predictions for our pay-per-view /PLEs, we'll make sure to post that in the Discord. But also those that are watching it live, you can make your predictions now and we can make a running total and running list of this. So the new match is a trios match between Paragon, which consists of the team of Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, and Kyle O'Reilly, versus the team of the Don Callis family, which consists of Josh Alexander, Konosuke Takeshita, and Kyle Fletcher.
Interesting match. Well, I didn't have it in the screen share that I was going to share. So let me see if I can pull the graphic.
Screenshot it for you. Did you get it?
I got it. Here we go. I'm pulling the graphic. Is it showing on your screen? Nope. No, there it is.
This card's a million times better than anything WWE's put on the last 5 years, so.
Oh yeah. There we go. We got Don Callis Family versus Paragon. We might as well talk about it. It's the newest one. I don't have a prediction for this off the top of my head, so I'm going. Give me Paragon, I guess, to win this match. We're not watching collisions, so I'm assuming something happened. I know Adam Cole was on commentary tonight, and I know Paragon, Roderick Strong, and Kyle O'Reilly were having a tag team match I can't remember who they were fighting. So I'm guessing something happened on Collision to provoke this that I will watch later. But I'll go ahead just for the record. Give me Paragon.
I'm going to go with the Don Callis family on this one. It's going to set up to where we're going to get maybe a couple different kind of matches for All in Texas. Maybe Roddy and Kyle versus Josh and Fletcher. Or we could see Konosuke and Alexander versus O'Reilly and Roderick Strong. And then maybe we see Kyle Fletcher pinning Adam Cole and getting a TNT championship shot at All In Texas. Either way, I think that the outcome of this match is going to set up for things happening down the road in the future. So I'm going to go with the Don Callis family.
Perfect. All right. Well, let's get the rest of the card going. We'll start off with the AEW Continental Championship match between Kazuchika Okada and Speedball Mike Bailey. This is an intriguing match. We kind of thought it was going to happen after we saw Speedball and Okada tussle at the end of Dynamite, not yesterday, but the last week. And it becomes official. Okada, his gimmick is great. He is the promo god. If you watch any of his promos, you are guaranteed to smile and laugh, my friends. But that's not going to be enough to beat Speedball Bailey. I'm gonna go Mike Bailey on this one.
I am gonna go with Okada. I mean, I think we're setting up for Okada versus Omega at All In Texas, and I think we're going to need a stake in that match besides just being a great one-on-one dream match, and we're going to set up for the Continental title, give it some sort of meaning to it, and either make that championship better, or, you know, Kenny's still the international champion. Combine the belts, I don't know, but I think it's going to be something's going to be on the line for that, and I think it'd be kind of weird if Okada loses on the pay-per-view here. Directly goes towards an upgraded championship. It does make sense in some ways, but I also think it would just make it a little bit better if we had a champion versus champion, combined the championship type of thing. I think I've kind of kept with that same theory over the last month or two. We'll go with Okada to retain over Bailey.
See, I was leaning towards that direction as well, but I do remember that leading up to All In, we do have two straight weeks of four-hour Wednesday night television, which are basically going to be too many pay-per-views. I'm assuming we're going to get one week of Blood and Guts, and so I think that's where we lead Kenny and Okada at some point in time, and it will be for Kenny's belt, and I think Speedball Bailey would be a great piece to run the Continental belt. And he could have a run that lasts through the end of the year through the Continental Classic. It'll be fun to see him be the champion in that tournament, but I could see it going either way. But like I said, I'll go Speedball on this pick. By the way, if you're watching in the comments, let us know who you're choosing, but also join the Discord server and make your picks for the official competition on the Real Wrestling Community Discord. Let's move to match number two on the night. This is a weird one to me. It's a stretcher match, which essentially is If you're playing WWE 2K25, an ambulance match between Mark Briscoe and Ricochet. Interesting match, interesting feud. I like Ricochet to win this one. I think he gets a bunch of heat, and to me, it would just make sense for Ricochet to beat Mark Briscoe at this point and move to the next pay-per-view, kind of on a winning streak leading up to All in Texas. I think they have big plans for Ricochet. He is one of the best promos in AEW at this point, and he's the leader of All Bald Wrestling. So you got to give Ricochet the win here over Mark Briscoe.
Yeah, I really don't see what the theory would be if Briscoe wins this. It's kind of a weird match to have in general on the card, but it could be a nod to Sabu. It could be just, hey, we need something a little bit different on the card. Could be. I don't know. But either way, I do see Ricochet winning this and moving on to bigger and better things as we move forward to All in Texas in a couple months, or a month and a half, really.
Absolutely. As we move along on the card, we go to a interesting tag team match. If you watched Backlash, we saw a commentator by the name of Pat McAfee get his ass absolutely handed to by Gunther. Will the same repeat itself in AEW when the commentary man Nigel McGuinness tag teams with Daniel Garcia to fight FTR with Stoke in his corner? He's not going by Stokely. He's not going by Stokely Hathaway. He decided to take inspiration from Cope and cut his name in half, and he's going by Stoke.
Big Stoke, isn't it?
Is it Big Stoke? I thought it was just Stoke, but it might be Big Stoke. I'm not sure. Who knows? His name every week. That's part of his gimmick, I think. But regardless of the name, they're not going to get the win. Give me Nigel and Daniel Garcia to pick up the W. And Nigel McGuinness, think about this story. Nigel McGuinness's biggest rival is Bryan Danielson. In Bryan Danielson's hometown or home state of Arizona, tag teaming with a guy that Danielson was trying to mentor, and Daniel Garcia mentors him better than Danielson can mentor him, and they pick up a tag team win. Long-term storytelling, y'all. Didn't think AEW can do it. It's long-term storytelling. What do you say, my friend?
Sure, let's go with that. I don't think McGuinness and Garcia are going to get the win here. I think that you have this new repackage with FTR with Stoke. I don't see them losing on a pay-per-view. They've taken a lot of losses here over the last few months. This is a kind of revamped version of FTR, fresh off their heel turn over Cope. So I think that this is just another stepping stone for them to move onward with their heel turn, and with the help, maybe a Big Stoke, I don't know. FTR does get the win.
So let me ask you, is there any possibility, the rumors have it that at All in Texas, we're getting FTR versus Cope and Christian, that Cope makes a return on Sunday?
I could see it as far as the return goes, but I don't know where you have a month and a half to get Christian a turn face and then all of a sudden just go with Cope. I don't know. And that just seems a little too quick, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to do that unless Christian kind of does it and then just double turns and turns on Cope and moves on and makes Cope feel like he has no friends. I don't know. But I don't see that happening within a month and a half time frame.
Fair enough. We'll have to see where that leads, and maybe this will be why you tune in on Sunday night. Let's move on to the next match. That is, if I had to be honest, my least looking forward to match of the night. Not because any of the teams are bad, but I'll give my my reasoning here in a minute. It's the AEW World Tag Team Championship match. The Hurt Syndicate put their AEW World Tag Team titles on the line against the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, the Sons of Texas, which is Sammy Guevara and Dustin Rhodes. And the reason I'm not looking forward to this is, why are the ROH Tag Team Champions going for the AEW Tag Team Championships? I'm not a big fan of this. Where you have concerns about, and I can see where your concerns for the women's tag team division kind of being convoluted. You kind of have a point when you look at how they book the men's tag team division, where we have teams like Top Flight, like Crew, like name me another team, the Gates of Agony, teams like that who maybe could make the tag team divisions worth a damn, and now you're putting the ROH World Tag Team Championships as the number one contenders. I'm not a big fan of that direction. In terms of this match, I don't think the Hurt Syndicate lose. I think they get the win pretty easily here. And the biggest of all Bobs and the man from Orangeburg, South Carolina, Shelton Benjamin, will retain their championships.
I definitely agree with you that the tag team scene in AEW, it's weird because they have a decent amount of tag teams that are all just kind of in this weird pool of not good enough to be on a pay-per-view card, but just good enough to be on Collision and sporadic appearances on Dynamite. It's weird. Crew, like you said, Gates of Agony and Daniel Garcia with Danny Matt, just quite a few different tag teams that are just out there, and they just haven't been able to rise up into being a top contender for the World Tag Team titles. So, I mean, having the ROH Tag Team Champions on an AEW pay-per-view should automatically kind of be the thing for that. I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, it makes it to where you're like, you know, obviously this is a match that I agree I'm not exactly looking forward to. I think it'll be a fine match. But I think a lot of people are just going to look at this and go, oh, yeah, it's Hurt Syndicate's definitely going to retain. Why would they lose? Not so fast, my friends. Let's look into the storytelling of this. Got a fourth member that just became official on Wednesday, last night. Who's to say this isn't a lure? Pull them in, rip the rug right on out underneath, cause them to lose the tag belts. I don't think that's happening on this show here, but it's a food for thought for later down the road. Hurt Syndicate's winning this match.
You had me in the first half. I ain't going to lie about that. I was like, if you pick these sons of bitches to win this match. But good pull there, Lee Corso. Not so fast, my friend. Let's move on now. We're going to the AEW Women's World Championship match. Timeless Toni Storm defends her AEW Women's World Championship against Mina Shirakawa in what might be a match of the night contender. Mina and Toni Storm last met on an AEW television back at Forbidden Door last year. They also met again and did some tag team work in Japan while Toni Storm was away from AEW for a minute. And then now they're meeting again. Mina Shirakawa got her official All Elite graphic last night. And this is going to be interesting because the rumors are running rampant that Mariah may play a piece in this feud, may make her return. And Mariah May's playing right into everybody's hands. Will she return? Will she not? I don't think it matters. Toni Storm will retain her AEW Women's World title.
I think we're getting Mariah May back. She just posted on social media, I think yesterday, that said God forbid a woman takes a vacation. That's like the first time she's really publicly made any sort of comment since her not appearing on AEW TV since Grand Slam Australia 2 months ago, almost three months ago. Oddly enough, there's a pay-per-view happening this weekend for AEW. So convenient tie-in that she makes a post and her best friend in a world title match against her arch nemesis.
She posted a photo, I think, this afternoon of her in some locker room. She's made a post a couple days ago when they announced All Out was going to be in Toronto. She posted a photo with the All Out logo in it. But I stop you because we get a women's tag team match on the buy-in. Tony Khan just announced.
I literally was about to say that. For meaning me to that. It's on the buy-in, so I don't think we really need to touch base on it.
But we'll mention it real quick.
We'll mention it, but we don't have to make any predictions on it.
Right. It's weird because Megan Bain and Penelope Ford are fighting Anna Jay and Harley Cameron. Megan Bain, the last pay-per-view, was fighting for this Women's World Championship. She's now on the buy-in. But at least we get another women's match on this show. And I guess Tony Khan...
Hey, further proof is your women's tag team theory. Having women's tag teams. That's the one thing I hated about at Dynasty, that Megan Bain was in a women's world title match, that if she loses, where does she go from here? And that's where she is teaming with Penelope Ford to take on Anna Jay and Harley Cameron on a pre-show. So big spot on a pay-per-view 1 month, pre-show in the next. It's the ebbs and flows of professional wrestling. But, hopefully they can build her back up and make her a strong heel again. And eventually I think Megan will win the world title at some point. Maybe Mariah May teams up with them. I don't know. But, that's your next face for the women's champion. You just got to find a way to get to that point again. But as for this match on the screen, I'm going to have Tony win as well. I think this is when Mariah does come back, make a triple threat match, and let's have that for All in Texas and see what happens there. And even if Mariah does come back, maybe it doesn't totally mean that she's re-signed with AEW. Maybe they give her one of the biggest ways to go out besides Australia. They have her and her best friend, arch nemesis, triple threat, All in Texas. She loses, goes on, that's her way of leaving. Be a great way to leave in a big high profile match, but we'll kind of see what happens with that. But yeah, I'm going to go with Tony to win and retain her belt on Sunday.
Absolutely. I'm hoping we get a Mariah May re-debut. And the rumors have it her contract's not officially up till like August. So it could make sense that she shows up and then maybe her last show is in her
home country of Forbidden Door.
Forbidden Door. But I guess we shall see. Let's see. We're moving on to the next match. Anarchy in the arena.
This is going to be a one big clusterfuck match. Oh, my God. This has to be the most participants we've had in an Anarchy in Arena match since its inception. That is a lot of fucking people in the match. Wow. Ospreay and Hangman Page are going to be the main event. They need to have a filler match in between this match and the main event, because good Lord, that's going to seep out the crowd energy for sure. That's going to be something. It's going to be something.
Absolutely. I don't even know where to make my prediction here because, like you said, they're six aside, but Gabe Kidd showed up at the end of Dynamite last night. And so is he an unofficial part of this, meaning we get a return of, I don't know, say Eddie Kingston. Gabe Kidd broke Eddie Kingston's leg. They made sure to broadcast that on Collision or Dynamite last night. For the pick, though, I'm going Team Death Riders to win this match. I think, like I said, we're leading to blood and guts. I don't think this is the last time we get a feud between all of these people. And so you got to kind of, in my theory here, you got to have the heels come out on top in part one. And so give me Team Death Riders to win this match.
I'm in the same boat. I think that, to me, your crowning jewel is going to happen in a month and a half, where Moxley loses the world title at All In Texas. I think that for this to happen, we've got to have the heels be as strong as possible leading into the biggest show. That way it creates that month and a half build for whoever wins between Hangman and Ospreay to get the biggest push from behind to go win the belt back for AEW. And to have the monster heels just seem absolutely unstoppable. And we'll get to the Hangman and Ospreay promo and the match prediction, because I have something I really want to say about that. It's, you got to have the heel be as strong as ever. So yeah, I'm going to go with the Death Riders and the Young Bucks to beat Team of Faces. It's a lot of names to say, so I'm just going to say the Team of Faces.
Yeah, I don't know if there's much else to say. This is going to be a...
What's the over-under on people bleeding? We have, 12 people in this match. What'd you say the over would be? 5, 6? 6.5?
It would not shock me if at least 7 of them had blood at some point in time.
I'm going to go 10.
That's going to be a
interesting... Shibata's not going to bleed, and Marina's not going to bleed. Everybody else is bleeding.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And what's hilarious is how many extra people could actually legitimately join this feud? Like, not even Eddie Kingston, but you could have Gabe Kidd, Jack Perry. I don't know if he's healthy, but if he is, Pac, if he's back from injury, I don't know if Hook, could he come back? I know he's filming a movie, but I think they're done with filming and they're in post-production now, if I understand that. So,
The possibilities in this match are endless. You could get a Bryan Danielson appearance. You could get Eddie Kingston. You can get a Hook, a Pac, a Gabe Kidd. I mean, it's just gonna be a cluster. It really is. If I see Dave Meltzer put this thing more than a 4-star, I'm gonna slice his throat. Because this is a match that doesn't deserve a star rating. It's just C-L-U-S-T-E-R. It should be an 11-star match, and the reason is because it's going to spell the word clusterfuck, because that's the name of this match, pretty much. Randall, you are a member of the match. I can't wait to see it. You're hiding in the background there. A lot of people on the screen, so that makes sense. Can you wear a Junkyard Media Group shirt just to chat us out, though? Could you know put that big ass QR code that James wore at Collision on the back of yours, and we can just scan it and join the website, join the Discord,
join the Discord, the Real Wrestling Community Discord, join the Discord.
Oh gosh!
All right, we move on to the final two matches. These are the finals of the Owen Hart tournament. Probably the
come back to that comment about Randall saying. Yes, hold on to that comment until almost the very end, because I really want to come back and loop back around into that at the end of all this.
Beautiful. Let's talk about the women's Owen Hart finals match, number one. First of the two finals, we got Mercedes Moné versus Jamie Hayter. Well, we know that the men's finals will end the show. My assumption is going to be the women will start the show. And, man, what a jam-packed, match this is. This should be for a championship. And I guess technically it is. They have the Owen Hart championship, but it's not an official belt. Mercedes Moné, I don't think she's lost a singles match since she's joined AEW.
25 Jamie, and
0. Jamie Hayter really needs this win. And so this is a intriguing match, and I think I'm going to pull what might be considered the upset here. I love Mercedes Moné, but I really do think her big shining spot at All In will be defending her TBS belt against Athena. And so give me Jamie Hayter to win this match and advance to All In as the champ, the number one contender to fight Toni Storm at All In Texas.
I am so back and forth on this one because it's a tough one to pick. The thought in my head, and it could be that it's a whole bunch of nothing of the Mina and Toni Storm match. Maybe Toni wins and we don't get anything from Mariah, unless it's Mariah and Mina at All In. And Jamie or Mercedes faces Toni in a singles match for the world title at All In. It's such a weird thing to predict because if Mariah shows up in some capacity in that match between Toni and Mina, I have to think she's going to be in that women's match in some capacity. It's just going to be a weird way to set that up.
What if Mariah does show up, she doesn't come to help Mina. She comes to help Toni, setting up a match at All In between Mina Shirakawa and Mariah May.
That may be where it kind of leads to, because that way it's a one-on-one match between Toni and whoever wins this match. I don't immediately look at, like Randall's comment is that until, you know, Mercedes proves she will lose a match in AEW, which technically she has. It was a tag team match, a couple of tag team matches, I think, but not in singles competition. My thought process goes, okay, it's your biggest show of the year. You want to showcase as many of these belts as possible. Are you going to put a champion versus champion, Toni versus Mercedes, winner receives both belts, combines them, or just two separate belts? Or do you want a Jamie Hayter, Toni Storm, and that's the women's world title match, and then we get a TBS championship match? It's a tough thing to look at. Tough thing to predict, but I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with Jamie, and just for the fact that I think Mercedes is going to get a standalone match at All In Texas for the TBS title, either against Athena, could be Mina, could be Mariah May, could be anybody, and I just don't see the champion versus champion. It's a bigger match. It creates a lot more prestige and mystique to it. But I just think you would want to have your champions as much of a standalone and create a bunch of stakes matches for your biggest show. And I'm gonna go with Jamie as well. I could easily see Mercedes winning, but it's gonna be wild either way to see what will happen. But I think this is gonna be a great match.
So I will say this for this match. If they want to sell a lot of, like, if they need it to sell a lot of tickets still, which I don't know exactly what the ticket count is, Mercedes should win this match because she's been the top female in promoting the All In show. Same reason I originally thought Swerve would be winning the Owen Hart tournament was because he was really big in promoting All In. But if they want to go based off, like, to me, what makes logical sense, Jamie Hayter would win this match and we can get two women's title matches on the show instead of one. Unless, again, Athena puts her ROH belt on the line, which I don't think they do because they have Death Before, or they have one of the pay-per-views that weekend in Texas as well. So
Supercard, I think, isn't it?
I think it's Supercard. I think they changed. It was Death Before Dishonor, but they moved that to
September, I believe.
September, yeah. So Supercard. But I guess we shall see. But yeah, Jamie Hayter, I think, wins this one. Which leads us to the main event. And for everyone that says that Will Ospreay or Hangman Adam Page cannot cut a promo, watch last night's promo, and you will see maybe one of the best promos in AEW history. Probably, like, so CM Punk had a few.
Number one. This is number one. 100%.
Well, I'll say that.
Go ahead.
But I'll tell you this. It gave me goosebumps, and when Adam Page started talking about he needs this, talking about his kid, like, legit, I started tearing up a little bit. Like he sold me on this match. Like, he really did. And so, yeah, I would put it in at the least a top five promo in AEW history, but I can easily see it being the best promo of all time in AEW.
This is the best promo battle in AEW's history for the fact of the believability in this promo is the best in AEW's history. Cody's post-match promo on the mic with Dustin at Double or Nothing when they had that great match and then Cody breaks down and says he needed a tag team partner, I think, for Fighter Fest or Fight for the Fallen. This is right before the TV deal, but the first show that AEW had. And that's when Cody broke down and said, I need my brother. That's one of the best moments in AEW history. I wouldn't call it the best promo because it was like a post-match thing and not a promo battle, should you say. These two guys, and I think Will Ospreay is underrated on the mic in general. He's a little quirky. He's not for everybody on the mic. But he does create some funny moments, some awkward moments, but also some really like, oh, shit, he looks like he's about to kick somebody's ass moments. The comparison to the contrast in this promo, and it's not the best promo in the world and not the best promo ever, but in AEW's history, this is number one. And there has been a few really good ones, Punk, MJF, Jericho. There's been a lot of good ones. But this is number one for the fact that Ospreay had his believability of, I want this title belt. So I can take it back to my six-year-old son. So I can take it back to London. AEW Forbidden Doors there in a couple months. I'm the face on the promo on the poster. They're going to a legendary arena, the O2 Arena in London. I live 30 minutes away from there. I grew up in the city. I want that belt to be the hometown guy and carrying the banner. Heyman's like, dude, I've been in hell for the last 2 years. I need this to get out of my hell so that, you know, just for my wife can see me as a different person. My kids see me as a different person. They believe in me. The crowd stuck by with me for 2 years. I need it for them. I need it for me. The want, the need, the comparison, the contrast, the intensity, the passion, the believability, 100% sold the match for me, sold the pay-per-view for me. Made me believe, holy shit, this tournament really, truly means something. The opportunity to go into the biggest show of the year a month and a half from now to fight for the world title is amazing. The part that also sold me just as much is the same type of subtle but authentic and real part. It compares to the Swerve and Heyman part where at the very end of that, when Heyman was like, you burned my house down. And Swerve was like, I know. Like, he has that acknowledgement of, I know. I fucked up. When Ospreay said, I need to beat you so I know how to beat Moxley. Moxley's beaten me twice. I don't know how to beat him. You do. You need to show me how to beat him. I want that person, I want that Heyman that has beaten Moxley to show up at Double or Nothing to show me that if I can beat you, I know I can beat him. And it wraps back around to this death grip that the Death Riders have on that world title and AEW as a whole, especially with the EVPs on their side. Who's going to be that knight in shining armor? Who's going to be that ultimate babyface to take that away from them? Heyman has done it before and beaten Moxley. Ospreay has not. It's that aspect of, I don't know how to beat him. I don't know how to do it. But I know you do. And if I beat you, then I damn sure know I can beat him. So show me how it's done. Yeah, that entire 16-minute promo not only sold the match, sold the pay-per-view. I echo anybody to go out and just watch it. And like I said, it's not going to be the best promo battle in wrestling history. Don't put it into that top echelon. But in AEW 6-year history, this has got to be in the top three, my opinion, number one. Maybe in the top 10, top 15 of all-time promos. I don't know if it's going to be top 10 in that height. It's close. But just an absolutely phenomenal way to open the show. Kind of wish it was the end of it since they're going to be the main event, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the women having the main event of Dynamite. But yeah, just an overall amazing way to sell that match, sell the tournament, sell the stakes, sell the pay-per-view. It was great.
Absolutely. For it being a tournament match, they really didn't have to put like a lot of storytelling in it. Like they could have just been like, this is the finals of, but they really did put an emotional appeal
to behind
both of them. At one point, you know, Ospreay got that like devilish grin on his face, and you're like, is Ospreay the heel in this feud? Like, what is going on? Like, and then Hangman again, like I said, he brought a tear to my eye. Like, Hangman, you're showing like you really want this. You're the main character of AEW. And so no, this is going to be, in my opinion, the most anticipated match of the show. I can't say it's match of the night because they haven't had the match yet, and there's some pretty decent matches on this card. I think it's a contender for match of the night. If they can pay it off and complete the story in the ring, I think this has been a really good and well put together Owen Hart final feud here. And yeah, it's I can't wait for this match. This was a great way to open Dynamite last night, having them have that long feud. But let's get to the prediction. It took me a minute to think about like who really wins this match. Ospreay makes sense for all the reasons he said in his promo. He can go in and if he defeats Jon Moxley, he can be the champion in London. But Hangman, he's been an AEW champion before. This is, I love the way that they're claiming this match as redemption versus ascension. Like, Will Ospreay ascend to the top, or can Hangman redeem himself? I'm leaning towards redemption. I really feel like Hangman Page wins this match, and I might change my mind before Sunday, but as it stands right now,
don't do that, putting into the predictions.
Give me Hangman Adam Page for this very reason. When you get to All In. Here's my biggest concern with Will Ospreay, and I was thinking about this a lot because Ospreay had an interview with, I think it might have been Fightful, where he said he has no desire to move to the United States at any point in his career. And that's a great thing. I admire Ospreay for traveling each and every week. But I also have a concern with putting the belt on Ospreay for that reason of what if he can't travel? Like AEW's had issues with snow and with things where there's been travel issues where like Moxley had to take a 12-hour drive to get to an arena because his flight got canceled. Well, if Ospreay's flight got canceled from England to the States, he can't just drive to the United States. So my concern is, Can you, like, Ospreay deserves the title. I agree at some point in time, but can you really put the title on your biggest show on Will Ospreay and take the potential risk that there may be a couple weeks that he may or may not be able to make it to the United States? To me, It's like Hangman is the guy. Hangman is the main character. They're pushing this redemption arc. They've been pushing it for 2 years. I know everybody's talking about Darby Allin being the guy. I don't know if it's Darby's time at this point. I think this is Hangman's time. This is the whole last, what, 6-7 months of AEW, the main character has been Hangman Page. And so I think Hangman is the guy that gets the belt. And I originally thought it would be Hangman Swerve at All In, but give me Hangman Moxley at All In to be your main event at All In Texas.
It's a good reasoning and a good prediction. And I think this has probably been one of the hardest matches to predict of our time doing prediction shows. And there's been a few of them simply because, man, there are just the different avenues from each one of these guys winning and losing, more so losing, of what happens, where do they go for All In Texas? Because, you know, they're both going to be on the card. I look at it this way, is All In Texas, it is your biggest show of the year. While Forbidden Door may be the biggest international show of the year, All In Texas is verbatim your biggest show of the year to this stadium. Do you drop the title at your biggest show of the year, or do you wait? And it's a hard thing to do. Either way, WWE did it whenever we thought Cody was finishing the story at WrestleMania 39. Didn't happen. Got a bunch of people uptight from it. Waited a year. Finally got that story arc. Finished the story at WrestleMania 40. Took a whole other year to get there. But, you know, they took us on a roller coaster ride. And in the end, it made sense and it worked. For me, I look at it this way. If Heyman wins, now I'm looking at it, okay, what does Ospreay do at All In Texas? What does he do at Forbidden Door? Does he win another international belt? Does he win a continental belt? Like, yeah, it's a good moment. Hometown crowd's going to be behind him, but I feel like there's something else that could be there. Or do we get Heyman versus Moxley? Maybe Heyman wins and drops the belt 2 months later at All In. Or at Forbidden Door, maybe Ospreay makes up for the loss a couple months earlier, Double or Nothing. That's a good way of looking at it. Or Heyman goes into Double or Nothing, wins, loses at All In. Ospreay gets a number one contender shot, wins the belt in his hometown, London. The pop would be insane. And I agree with you with the Darby thing. When he does come back, I don't think it's yet ready for him. He's been off TV way too long that I don't – we have to build him back up again and get him back going for me to really have a good arc for me to be able to be like, yep, right, it's now his time.
Right.
So go ahead.
My biggest concern with that thinking of Ospreay maybe winning the belt at Forbidden Door is – going off of the history of Forbidden Door, there tends not to be a lot of AEW versus AEW matches at that pay-per-view. It's a lot of New Japan versus AEW matches. And so, like, you could put Ospreay against a lot of people on that in New Japan roster, and it would be a really good match. So, it's a good point to make. But does Ospreay, what can Ospreay, let's just say he wins it All In, obviously he's going to carry the belt. Could Ospreay have an AEW title match against, like, let's say like a Zack Sabre Jr. or a Shota Umino or someone of that caliber? Yeah, I don't know if I like, again, I don't know if Ospreay necessarily needs the belt to make him a bigger character. He's already huge with people without holding any AEW gold.
Yeah, and it just presents a very weird way of looking at it, just because, like I said, I mean, Ospreay wins Sunday, goes to All In. Is he going to have that same kind of pop at All In as he will at Forbidden Door? You would think so, but maybe the crowd would be a little bit more like, man, that should have been Hangman's moment. That should have been Hangman, and Hangman gets a better pop. I mean, it is such a topsy-turvy way of looking at it.
Right.
It's a good problem to have, but also like a, I don't want to say a sketchy problem, but it does create like, all right, where does this fit in the next month and a half to 2 to 3 months of between now and All-In and then Forbidden Door? Where does this all kind of fit in? If Hangman wins an All-In, are you going to kind of sacrifice for the one night at Forbidden Door where he defends the title and maybe the crowd isn't super behind him because maybe they feel Will Ospreay should be the world champion and blah, I don't know. But man, golly, this is so tough. You know, I did predict that Will Ospreay was going to be in the finals and win it. That promo last night, boy, that put a monkey wrench in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. I don't usually do this too much where we get a clean sweep. I think I'm going to have to go with Hangman Page on this. I think I'm going to have to go against what I originally thought was Ospreay winning. I may have to go with Hangman just for the fact that the need versus the want, the redemption versus the ascension. Ospreay still has a lot of years left of him. Not saying Hangman doesn't, but he's been such in turmoil over the last 2 years. This has to happen for him. And if you have to sacrifice one night of Forbidden Door where the crowd isn't totally behind him, so be it, because it's an American promotion. All in Texas, it is in America. I'm going to cheer for Ospreay, but my prediction is going to be a Hangman. So I'm going to go with Hangman on this.
So I kind of agree with this comment that we got here. If Hangman were to win, it would be easier to, or it would make more sense if he were to lose to Moxley. If Moxley, for whatever reason, if they want Moxley to hold the belt past All In, which if that happens, if Moxley wins at All In, you might have Twitter break. Like the wrestling community would AEW might have like 50,000 people watching Dynamite that Wednesday if Moxley wins at All In. The concern I have is, let's just say the idea was Moxley is going to retain and the guy is Darby and Darby's going to win it at some point down the road. Maybe it's his hometown in Tacoma, or it may be, at World's End or whatever it may be. It would be, I think fans, though they would be disappointed, they would have a least worst taste in their mouth with Moxley beating Hangman than if Moxley beat Ospreay. So if that's, I could see it from that position. Like if Ospreay lost, like if Ospreay won this tournament just to lose it All In, like I think there would be a lot of issues. If Hangman won this tournament and then lost to Moxley, I think people would be upset, but I think they could push it off another month to see what happens at Forbidden Door, see what happens at Wrestle Dream, see what happens at whatever point in time. And so it'll be interesting, I guess, but I think Hangman just makes overall sense.
Yeah. And looking, I mean, that makes a little more sense when you kind of put it that way, just for the fact of, like you said, I think people would be okay with Moxley retaining over Hangman versus Ospreay. But it just creates, man, it creates such a dilemma of like, okay, what exactly happens? Where do we go from here? Yeah, I think that you make a very valid point with that for sure. And they would be more okay with Hangman losing to Moxley versus, I think, like you said, Ospreay. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting way either way. And it's just going to set up for a really interesting All In and then kind of see what happens after that. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the show on Sunday. I think there's just so much that can come out of this. Storylines coming out of this and going into not only next week, but leading it all in Texas. It's going to be an interesting setup and going to be a good show Sunday regardless.
Yes, absolutely. Well, guys, this is, and guys and gals, this is the part of the show where we're going to wrap it up here a little bit. AEW Double or Nothing, regardless of what you predict or what you don't predict, you should make your predictions at the Real Wrestling Community Discord page. You can go to junkyardmediagroup.com and click the Discord logo on the home page there, and it will direct you to our Discord channel. And you can join our prediction showdown for the year of 2025 that starts this weekend. We got two pay-per-views this weekend that you can get points for. So join there at the Discord link at beyondthejunkyard.com. Or you could reach out to us and we can provide an invite code if needed. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting pay-per-view for AEW. And remember, after this show, we get, in the next couple of weeks, two straight weeks of mini pay-per-views on June 4th and June 11th. We have Fyter Fest in Denver and Summer Blockbuster in Portland, Oregon. A lot of storytelling will be told to get us to All In after this week. But tune in this Sunday and see how good you make on your predictions. I will do as we always do. Give it to my man, Cody Marinara, for the final words.
Ladies and gents, it's going to be a great weekend, Memorial Day weekend. So we got to give thanks to those who have fought, served for our country, the United States of America. Very somber, but also a Memorial weekend. That's why it's called Memorial Day. Get your ingredients ready by Saturday because, Sunday and Monday are, you know, Sunday is going to be the busy day. Got a lot going on and then you got to recuperate Monday. That way we can get back to our normal daily lives on Tuesday. So go out and go get your ingredients, go get, stuff ready to go unless you're just going to be one of those people and you know, order in and order pizza, for Sunday. It's totally fine. It's a different kind of sauce, but it's all good. But make any kind of sauce you would like Saturday so you can be ready to go Sunday. Alfredo sauce, bolognese sauce, marinara sauce, pizza sauce, whatever you want to call it. Just make sure that you're ready for Sunday. Sunday is going to be a great day. If you're a racing fan, best day of the year. Monaco, which I believe this is going to be the last year of the greatest day in racing because I believe Monaco after this year is going to be in either June or July. So we got Monaco in the morning. Indy 500 midday, Coke 600 at night. I'll watch half the race and then switch on over to Double or Nothing. Or now that I have 15 different things with technology, have all Double or Nothing up on the big screen and have the race on my phone or tablet or something like that on the side. And just eat sauce all day long. Maybe you want to start with one type of sauce in the morning or afternoon. And then finish up with a different kind of sauce at night. Drink a lot of alcohol to soak all that stuff up. And then have a hangover and have a great day Monday to recuperate from that. Any kind of predictions for this weekend? That sucks for you, Jason. My thoughts and prayers are with you. This will be the first year I've had Memorial Day off, I think, ever. So I'll be celebrating this this weekend for sure. Need to go get some Michelob Ultras and put those things on in the fridge. Bottle Michelob Ultra is the best. I don't care who wins F1 because I don't watch it, but I'm gonna need my boy Felix Rosenquist. I think he starts sixth in the Creed car. Boy's gonna win the 500. Creed's gonna win the 500. They're gonna kiss the brakes. It's gonna be a great time. And then Chase Elliott is gonna wreck three quarters of the way into the race because that's his luck at 600. I'm not too worried about Chase winning because he doesn't win anymore. Good luck to Kyle Larson on the 1,100 miles. Hopefully he actually gets to do it this year. But other than that, everybody, hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Happy Double or Nothing weekend. Happy race weekend. Most importantly, stay saucy, friends. Beyond.